Drama every day on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
You're listening to BBC Radio 4 Extra.
And Tuesday's Classic Comedy Hour, where next we have the men from the Ministry. And Whitehall, we might have a problem.
Time to meet the men from the Ministry. We're off once again for a whirl round Whitehall with Norma Ronald, Ronald Badley, John Graham, and the men from the Ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Guiler. The role of ministry men is clearly expressed by their ancient crest, two crossed memos and a bowler hat carrying a can. For these men hold grave responsibilities, notably that of defence. Above all, they must ensure protection from an unexpected attack.
Now, too, let's ask ourselves, what is the purpose of an early warning system?
It's to tell us of any sudden enemy approach in time to take defensive action.
And does our scheme do that?
It certainly does. Any senior official approaching the office will be seen in that mirror we fixed by your window. That is, if they come up the stairs.
Yes, and if they come down the corridor, they'll tread on that sugar we sprinkled on the liner.
Yes. Or if they try to climb in at the window, they'll slip on the grease I smeared on the sill.
Yes, well, I'm not sure that was really necessary. We're on the fifth floor. Still, the point is, we're secure. That's the main thing.
Yes.
Pass them in the golf clubs from the map cupboard, will you? Yeah.
Oh, excuse me, gentlemen. Mildred asked me to give you these letters to sign.
Thank you, but why didn't she bring them?
Well, she had to go out and get her hair done.
That's too bad of her, slacking all day, sloping off home. Who does she think she is, the head of the department? Mildred's due for a rocket.
Now, two, please, let's not have any unpleasantness.
Well, yeah. Oh. General Systems Department at your service.
Lennox Brown there.
Yes, it's for you, one. I'm afraid it's Sir Gregory.
Oh, dear, the one line of attack we didn't think of. hello, Sir Gregory. How very nice of you to call.
This is a vital job that's come down from cabinet level. What's your view of the space program?
I don't often see it. My wife likes to watch the other channel.
Not TV, man, the real thing. America and Russia put men in space. Now people are looking to us. There's some space research going on at ground level. We can't afford to do more, but we can give more coverage to what's being done. A massive publicity campaign to saturate the media.
Well, won't that cost money, Sir Gregory?
No, it won't, because you're going to do it.
Oh, I see.
As of now, General Assistance Department incorporates the Space Information Bureau. You'll coordinate reports from research centers and issue weekly bulletins to the press.
What's in your latest space bulletin, Mr. Lamb?
I've done my best, Mr. Crawley. The fact is, with these spending cuts, there's not much happening.
Too true.
How does this sound? Dramatic British space breakthrough. British scientists have developed a large net in which they hope to catch falling pieces of the next American Skylab.
Is that a fact, Mr. Lamb?
No, it's an exaggeration, but...
Pardon me protruding, Mr. Lamb.
Yes, Mildred, what is it?
I'll have to finish sticking them snaps in your album this afternoon. I'm off to lunch.
You're not, Mildred. Your lunch hour's not till 1:30. Mr. Crawley and I go first.
Yeah, well, I've got to meet Brenda and hear all her news. I haven't seen her since the coffee break.
I'm afraid it's out of the question. It's time you were brought down to Earth. I expect you to arrive at the proper time, go to lunch at the proper time, and leave at the proper time.
What did your last slave die of?
You can't go to lunch now. It would mean leaving the office empty.
Well, what about Mr. LB? He hasn't come in at all yet.
That's quite enough. Your whole attitude is wrong, Mildred. All you care about is having a good time. If you go on like this, you'll end up redundant.
I never. I've always been careful. Thing to say. Well, that does it. I'm going out now, and I shan't come back till I feel like it.
Oh, Would you believe it, Mr. Crawley? Young people have no sense of responsibility these days.
I blame all this colour TV.
When Mildred comes back, she'll get the biggest rocket she's ever had.
Well, shall I take this space bulletin down to the teleprinters?
What? No, better let LB see it first.
Oh, you're right, Mr. Lamb. He seems to enjoy telling his chums he's head of space research.
I'll pop it on his desk and then we can go to lunch.
Perhaps you should leave a note. Remind him teleprinters need the bulletin by 1:30.
Good idea. Can I borrow your pencil?
Yes, there we are.
Now then, let's see. Space bulletin to be sent off at 1:30.
Oh, and you ought to explain why Mildred's not here.
Oh, yes. And warn him she's due for a big rocket. If there's going to be a row, he'll want to make sure he's not here. I'll say, big rocket in the air. Mildred shot off early this morning. What time did she go?
About 1 o'clock, perhaps a bit before.
Right. One or bit before, and I'll just add, Mildred must be brought down to Earth. It's up to LB to back me up.
Morning, too. Morning, Mildred. Hello, there's no one about. 1:40. Oh, well, they've probably gone to lunch, yes. Well, I think I'll do the same. It's been a busy morning.
Excuse me, sir.
Oh, hello. Who are you?
From teleprinters. It's gone 1:30 and we haven't had the weekly space bulletin yet.
Ah, the bulletin, yes. Sorry about that, yes. Well, we've been hard at it here all morning, you see. Haven't had a moment. Yes, I'm just getting off to lunch.
Can I have it, then?
Can you have it?
The bulletin.
Oh, the bulletin. Yes, of course, my dear chap. Yes, yes. I think you'll find it on my desk. That's where they usually put it. Well, I must be off. My staff will be back soon if you've any questions.
Truth. This desk looks like a jumble sale. 100 junior crossword puzzles. Oh, this must be it. Space Research Bulletin. To be sent off at 1:30.
What do you think, Jill? Keep this from the midday edition and lead with the phone bill shock horror story.
Well, you're the news editor, but it's not very strong for a London 4 o'clock edition. I mean, what are we expecting? Weekly space bulletin, any hopes?
No, that's just a handout. A lot of guff to say we're doing nothing. As full of wind as a jar of onions.
Well, we could have a look. It'll be coming up on the teleprinter now.
Okay, let's see. Oh, aye, here it comes. Government Space Bulletin, week 5. They started with week 1 and they've been getting weaker. The big rocket in the air. Mildred shot off early this morning.
What?
Hey, what's this? Something's up. Mildred shot off early this morning. 1 orbit before Mildred must be brought back to Earth. Tom, get library to give you all they've got on rockets. Mike, ring these information people. We've put a rocket in space. Code name Mildred. No, hold that. I'd better ring them.
Hang on, I'll find the number. Mm-hmm. Space Information Bureau.
Hello, no sign of LB yet.
Oh, yes, there is, Mr. Lamb. Look, his umbrella. He's been in and gone to lunch.
Oh, good. He'll have sent the bulletin down to the teleprinters. What about Mildred, I wonder?
Oh, she's been in too. There's an envelope on your desk with her writing.
My word, she's written me a letter. Mr. R. Lamb, Esquire, room 541, General Assistance Department, 308 Whitehall, London, SW1, England, Europe, the world, the universe, by hand. Ah, let's see. Dear sir or madam, I regard what you said this morning was rude, not fair, and furthermore a diabolical liberty. I shall not come back till you've apologized or else said you're sorry. If you are ready to do so, you can leave a message with my ma. I shall be going round Mars at 4 o'clock. Yours, M. Murphy, Ms. Well.
Seems like she's given you a rocket, Mr. Lamb.
Oh. Hello, Space Information Bureau.
McGregor, news editor, Evening Dispatch. Can you give us some information about this rocket?
Well, of course, we... which rocket?
The one we just heard about. What was the name we were given? Mildred.
Oh, the Mildred business. Good gracious, you press boys get on to everything.
Mildred was fired this morning, I understand.
No, not actually fired, just sort of shot off, you know.
But This was very sudden, wasn't it?
Not really. We'd been building up to it for some time.
Oh, you've kept it very quiet.
We didn't think anyone would be interested.
You didn't think anyone would be... Oh, you're joking, of course.
Am I?
Look, where's Mildred now?
I'm not sure. Wait a minute, we just had a message. The papers are onto that row with Mildred, Mr. Crawley. Could you pass me a letter? Thanks. Hello, are you there?
Aye. You were going to tell me where Mildred is.
I'll read you the latest message on Mildred's whereabouts. The exact words are, we'll be going round Mars at 4 o'clock.
We'll be going round Mars. Oh, ye gods. Did you see round Mars?
Round Mars, that's right.
Mike, hold the front page. Mildred is going round Mars.
I can't think why they're so interested. Anything else you want to know?
There certainly is. Is Mildred British?
Oh, yes, Mildred's British, all right.
Absolutely all British.
How do you mean?
Well, I was wondering if any part of Mildred had been handled by Americans.
Well, the Muslim American airman who... No, I'm... I'm quite sure it hasn't.
Oh, and something else the public will want to know. What's the reason for the name Mildred?
Oh, I suppose it's as good as any other girl's name.
Yes, I know, but why did it have to be a girl's name?
Well, I imagine her parents were guided by their doctor. I've always felt they were probably right.
Parents? Doctor? I mean, you don't mean... Well, you can't possibly mean... Is Mildred a girl?
Well, pardon?
Is Mildred a girl?
Well, we hate to give firm opinions here at the Ministry. But I can say all available evidence points to the fact.
Amazing. Mike, set up a special edition. Mildred is a girl. And she's in this thing?
What thing?
This rocket.
Oh, yes, she's right in the middle of it. Now, if you'll excuse me, I really must hang up. We're awfully busy here. Amazing how some of these people waste time...
Excellent lunch, I thought, Crompton.
Club food's looking up.
New chef, you know. Foreign, yes. Got to hand it to them, haven't you?
Back to the office now, I suppose?
Comes from Paris, I believe. My wife and I are off to Paris shortly.
You taking a taxi?
No. We'll probably fly.
I meant, are you taking a taxi back to your office?
No. I quite enjoy the walk, you know. Like to get plenty of exercise. Besides, it's only 30 yards.
Well, I go your way. I'll join you.
Right.
Interesting stuff you mentioned at lunch. So, your department keeps tabs on space research.
Oh, keep it under your hat, of course. Actually, the PM's asked me to look after the whole business.
Paper! Special edition! Britain Space Woman Sensation! Special edition! Paper!
Hello! What's all this?
Thank you, sir.
Good Lord!
What is it?
Look! Britain launches first space woman! UK rocket orbits Mars. Astounding.
Yes.
No surprise to you, of course. Your line of country, eh? Must say you kept it very quiet at lunch.
Yes. Well, bound to, you see. I mean, I had to wait till the official announcement.
Well, what a dark horse you are.
Yes.
How big's this rocket?
How big? Oh, very big. Yeah, my word, yes, it's very big indeed.
Good Lord, fancy that.
Well, it has to be, you see. Long way to go.
Good Lord. What's propelling in it? Solid fuel, steady feed, parallel rocket arrangement, or supercharged variable jets with thermonuclear boosters?
Well, it's not quite as simple as that.
Good Lord. I'd take off my hat to you, experts.
Thank goodness you're back, one. The office has been going mad.
Oh, I'm not surprised. You should have told me about this rocket, too. I nearly looked rather foolish. Old Buffy Crompton for the Ministry of Defence asked me about it as we left the club. I had to bluff pretty hard.
What do you mean you had to bluff? You were the one who sent off the news.
What?
I didn't even know there was a space rocket till all the phones rang at once.
We had to take off the what's-his-names. So you could tell us what it's all about.
Well, all I know is what's in the newspaper.
Oh, it's in the papers. Good, then it must be true.
Really? Look, too, look, it's on the front page. A dramatic government bulletin at 1:30 today announced that Britain has put a woman into space, so on and so on and so on.
They don't give many details.
Well, that's the trouble with these wretched government people. They never tell you anything. Just a minute. We're not supposed to get this stuff from the papers. They're supposed to get it from us.
How can they if we don't know anything?
Right. Here, no, two. No, you're going round in ever-diminishing circles. This 1:30 bulletin's the thing we issue. They did get it from us.
Oh, that's all right, then. We're reliable enough.
Look, take a grip on yourself, two. Mm-hmm. Now you're saying the rocket news was in our bulletin.
Only if you added it. The bulletin I wrote was the usual load of rubbish.
That's right, I read it.
Thank you, Mr. Crawley.
Well, how could I have added anything? I didn't even see it.
Well, I put it on your desk as usual. In fact, look, it's there now. Oh, if the space bulletin's still on your desk, what went down to the teleprinters?
Oh, you'd better ring and find out, Mr. Lamb.
Here. Hello, get me the teleprinters, will you? I'm worried. And I always know when I'm worried, because I start to worry.
Teleprinter speaking.
This is Space Information Bureau. What did our 1:30 bulletin say?
Hang on, I've got it here. Oh. Yes, it reads, big rocket in the air. Mildred shot off early this morning. One orbit before Mildred must be brought back to Earth. Did you get that?
Right between the eyes.
Two, what is all this? Something wrong?
When you weren't in by lunchtime, I left you a note. And that, as I see it, is how we're the first people to put a clanger into orbit.
So there's nothing up there at all? Oh, your face will be red in the morning.
If only you'd got back from lunch sooner.
Well, I was talking to old Crompton from the Ministry of Defence, telling him about this rocket, you see, and... Oh, glory. Oh, my goodness. Crawley, fetch that little bottle from the first aid cabinet.
The smelling salts.
Oh, don't be daft. The brandy. Good grief, too. I've been boasting about a rocket that doesn't exist.
Your department's responsible for a false story in every paper from Land's End to John O'Groats.
And every radio and TV from New York to Vladivostok.
In fact, the whole situation couldn't be more Vladivostok. When they find out the truth, Britain will be humiliated, the government will be exasperated, and we'll be obliterated.
I think I'll go and have a lie down.
Hello, Space Information Bureau.
Is Lennox Brown there?
I'll ask him. It's for you, Mr. Lennox Brown.
Hey, oh, Lord. Lennox Brown here.
Ah, it'll be Crompton here.
Oh, Crompton.
At the Ministry of Defence.
At the Ministry of Defence.
Look, about this rocket...
The rocket, yes. I'd better explain...
Oh, no need for that. When I got back and started showing off me inside knowledge to the Minister, it turned out he knew all about it.
Pardon?
The Minister. He said, naturally, he'd been in on it from the first.
Really?
Now the press have been on, wanting to know what we're doing about picking up this astronaut when she gets back.
Oh. Ah.
The first Sea Lord told them he's already diverted the whole home fleet for the job.
Good Lord.
Could you remind us where the capsule's coming down?
The capsule? Coming down?
Where?
Where? Ah. The North Sea.
Can't you be a little more exact?
The South.
The South?
The South North Sea.
The South North Sea?
Somewhere off East Anglia, I think, you know. Do you know that coast at all? It's very bracing, yes. My aunt had a cottage on the water there. One of the Norfolk Broads. Yes, she found it very useful.
Yes, yes, thank you, Lennox Brown. I must get this to the Minister. We'll get the home fleet on the move.
One, have you finally snapped?
No, two. I've suddenly seen the light.
But you let him believe there is a rocket up there.
If we admit this bloomer, we're in trouble, right?
Right.
So, why admit it?
Because, well, it's wrong to conceal a mistake. Unless you're sure you can get away with it.
Right, yes, and I just realised how we might get away with it.
But how can we get away with it? There are hundreds of people who know if a rocket had been fired. As soon as they know, they'll know they don't know, if you know what I mean.
Ah, but will they dare admit it? I mean, you didn't, I didn't, the Minister didn't. We were all afraid it was some dispatch we hadn't read that we ought to have read. So we pretended we did know. Oh. Crawley, bring me all the files on American and Russian space flights. And where's Mildred?
Oh, she'll be at her mother's.
Oh, go and fetch her, too, before the press get hold of her, will you? Oh, Crawley, man. Take those receivers off the hook again and tell the doorman to let no one up to this office. Just give me time to think.
Here, can you answer the door, Ma? It's wrestling on the telly. Oh, what's happening?
At that point, we interrupt our television coverage of wrestling at the Athenaeum. We bring you now our latest bulletin on the progress of Britain's space rocket. It's been revealed that Britain's first woman in space is not a trained astronaut, but a typical London typist. Little has yet been revealed.
Did you hear that, Ma? I'm glad he's not me.
However, it's now known that the girl who should at this moment be orbiting the planet Mars is a civil service secretary. She's a 19-year-old Londoner, and her name is Mildred Murfin.
Oh! It is me!
Thank you, Mrs. Murfin. Mildred, you've got to come with me.
Mr. Lamb, here, did you hear that? They think I've been shot in space.
You'll be shot somewhere else if you don't come back to the office.
How long can we keep this up, Mr. Lennox Brown?
As long as we have the good sense to lie low and let them all get on with it. The papers have run 3 special editions already and no one smelt a rat.
But won't they want some facts from us soon?
Why should they want facts from us when they can make them up on their own? Look. Look at the front page. Now, look. Yeah. Tense, pale, but doggedly courageous, Mildred Murfin flies on.
Space triumph boosts share prices.
It's even spread to the middle pages.
Oh, yes, Cynthia Pocock on what the smart spacewoman will be wearing.
I was Mildred's first date by Gary Boggis. You know I'm beginning to believe all this myself.
Look, here in the stop press column, this is our best hope yet.
What does he say?
Questioned about the rocket this afternoon, the Prime Minister seemed to be taken by surprise. But after consultation with colleagues, the Prime Minister said, "We are all very proud. This government has revived British enterprise."
That's marvellous.
It is. If we're up the creek, we've got the government in the same boat. Well, they can't let the truth out now.
Yeah. Ah, but all these people are British, one. They want to believe in our rocket. What about the Americans and Russians? They're watching space with the most up-to-date equipment.
Yes, but it's manned by old-fashioned human beings.
I don't get it, Dexter. The British spacecraft should be on this bearing, but there's not a thing on the screen.
Hey, Professor, newsflash from Moscow. They say they're seeing the British rocket loud and clear on their new high-powered People's Telescope.
Is that so? Well, let's take another look at the screen. Hey, yeah, I can see something. Right here, see?
You're right, Professor. We're seeing it clearer than Moscow.
Here is the news read by John Strait. Congratulations continue to pour in on Britain's successful space probe to Mars. Moscow Radio has paid a special tribute to the astronaut Mildred Murfin, descended, they said, from Russian grandparents. American space experts, who've also seen the rocket, say they're amazed at Mildred's great feat. The BBC has expressed regret that it was not possible to show the space shot on television due to recorded highlights from the test match. Britain's Space Information Bureau is delaying further statements until the astronauts return, which they await with quiet confidence.
Pull yourself together,
for heaven's sake.
But getting away with it so far has only made things worse. Everyone's waiting to see it come back.
And so they shall, my dear chap.
But how can they?
I've been studying how other astronauts came back, and I've got it all worked out. Now, Crawley, ring customs and excise and borrow one of their launches.
Righty-ho, Mr. Lennox Brown.
2. Yeah. Pop into Harridge's and buy a yellow rubber dinghy.
If you say so, one.
Mildred, I rely on you to show the resilience and moral fibre of which I know you're capable.
Do what?
I want you to do as you're told.
Hello, America. Hello, the world. This is NBC's roving correspondent, Sam Short, reporting from London, England. Reporting the 3 words the world has awaited. Mildred is back. Yes, Britain's intrepid astronaut, Mildred Murfin, has returned from orbiting the planet Mars. Re-entry was not without mishap. With Britain's fleet on standby in the North Sea, Mildred, in fact, splashed down in the Thames estuary. Missing the many sailors who are waiting to pick her up. Happily, she was found by the Space Bureau's Derek Lennox Brown, who happened to be in this very area fishing from a launch. Thus, the rescue of Mildred and her yellow rubber dinghy was seen by only a few spectators on historic Southend Pier. And none of these can now be traced. Sadly, the capsule itself, with all data and records of this historic venture, had already sunk to the bottom of the sea. Mildred Murfin is said to be in good shape, but her ministry boss, Mr. Richard Lamb, was taken to hospital, suffering from nervous exhaustion.
How are you feeling, too?
Much better for the week's rest in that darkened room, plus those rewards from a grateful government for our space triumph.
Yes, they've been very generous. The new hat stand in my office, your 5 days sick leave without a certificate.
I thought they were a bit over-generous with Mildred.
Oh, I don't know. Considering they thought she was our first woman astronaut, I think she deserved those luncheon vouchers.
Thank heavens it's over once.
Oh, my word, yes, I wouldn't go through that again. Luckily, people forget very quickly.
The Sun newspaper haven't forgotten. They asked Mildred round for an interview, as you know.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. No.
Yes, you did. I left a note on your desk.
Well, there was only one note on my desk. And the man from Teleprinters took it. What did it say?
It said, Mildred shot off to the Sun this morning.
Oh, no.
Lost in Space, as the men from the Ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, Ronald Badley and John Graham. The program was written and produced by Edward Taylor.
Next week, numbers 1 and 2 are all in a flap over pigeons.
The Moth Radio Hour. Sunday mornings at 11 and again in the evening at 7 on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
The story that Jose Torres told at the Moth that night wasn't about the necessity for courage in the boxing ring, but the necessity for fear. Here's Jose Torres, live at the Moth.
I want to talk to you about something very serious in boxing. And that is that when I was growing up in Puerto Rico, was during the World War II, and my heroes were the American soldiers that were stationed near my house. They had the best looking girls. They were always in the street. They were protecting us. And we always spoke of them as the greatest people in the world, the American soldier. And, oh, thank you. Is that a Puerto Rican there? So I remember that all I wanted to do when I was growing up was to become a soldier. And at 17, I forged some signature and said that my mother was sick and that she signed, but that I was 18, but I was only 17. And I went as a volunteer into the army. 2 weeks after I was in the army, I realized that that had been the worst decision of my life. I disliked the army passionately. And I began to shake, and I was getting sick. It was depression. And then someone told me that if I joined a sport, I would feel fine and very happy. And I went to special services, and I said, I want to become a baseball player, because I play baseball in the high school. And they said, the season is over. I said, well, then I want to become a basketball player. And they said, the season is over. I said, okay, track and field, 400 meters. The season is over. I said, which season is on? They said, boxing. And I was so unhappy by being a soldier that I said, okay, I want to be a boxer. And a few weeks later, I started to learn how to box. And the only thing I had done while I was in Ponce, my hometown, was to street fight. So I applied the same kind of method in which I just was a natural good puncher. So in my first fight, I knocked the guy out. Second fight, I knocked the guy out. Third fight, I knocked the guy out. And I became very happy in the army. So now we're going to fight for the Antilles Championship.